Welcome to First Turn, where we play board games for the first time and discuss our immediate reactions. It's like book club, but for board games. I'm Eric, and with me is Kate.
Hello.
Today we're going to be playing Sleeping Gods, designed by Ryan Lockett. The artist is Ryan Lockett, and it is published in 2021 by Red Raven Games. The description is, in Sleeping Gods, you and up to three friends become Captain Sophia Odessa and her crew, lost in a strange world in 1929 on your steamship, the Manticore. You must work together to survive, explore exotic islands, meet new characters, and seek out the totems of the gods so that you can return home. The mechanics are cooperative game, hand management, push your luck, and storytelling. And the box art, how would you describe the box art?
Well, it has a very mystical look to it. Blues and greens going on. There's a big ship in the middle. Underneath, there's some sort of sea creature.
Not much else other than if you know other Ryan Lockett or Red Raven games, it is in his art style, which is pretty distinct.
Would you pull it off the shelf?
Yes, I'm holding the box because I backed it. So, I like Red Raven Games. I really like Above and Below, which and Near and Far, which are his more storytelling games. So this is more like this. You've only played Rome, which is more of his like puzzly games with a little bit of story in it. So what about you? Would you pull it off the shelf?
I would. It's intriguing. I'm curious what's going on with the sea creature going on down below the ship. Be interested to try that out.
All right, so how do you think it's played?
Okay, well, I did look at the description before this today, and I did see something about seeking out totems, so I assume we are going to be on this ship, captained by Sophie Odessa, and I assume we're going to go around to different regions and seek some totems.
Where do you find the totems?
On land.
What do you think the gameplay is like? How is your boat moving? Or there's really not much to go off on mechanics.
Yeah, I have. So hand management, is that direct where we go? And then there's no dice rolling, so I don't know how else we move around.
Yeah.
Sure, where the push your luck might come into play.
I'm trying to give you some hints, but there's really not much there. All right. That's kind of all you have to go off of. I can give you hints based on his other games. If you played them, you might have some ideas of like the things. But
I haven't played them, so.
No. It's a very lengthy game for what you just described. Okay, fake BP. What is your history of the Sleeping Gods?
Okay. I have to say, first of all, that I'm very intimidated to be doing the history, but I'm going to give it a shot. So I did look up the description of the game and latched on to the bit about seeking totems. And so I thought I'd look into the history of totems and totemism, which according to Britannica Online is a belief system centered around animals or plants as spirit beings. And these spirit beings are said to be emblematic or symbolic for a particular group or individual. I went on a little bit of a side note because I am, you know, a linguist, and there was some interesting things to read about the word itself. So totem originates in a word from an American Indian language. I'm not going to say this right. Ojibwa is also known as Chippewa, which I know I had heard that language before. And ototemen means one brother's sister kin, kind of relates to this idea that totem is a symbol for a kinship group. There's also some dispute about whether it's a symbol that's just like a symbol for the group or whether it has this idea of being religious or some sort of guardian spirit. Yeah, and that's a whole nother debate about totemism and how it ties in with our ideas about religion. There were bits on the internet about Durkheim. And so I also studied sociology, so I was very excited.
Of what?
Durkheim, the French sociologist. Okay. So he looked at totemism, I can't say the word, and he tried to explain it as the origin of religion. And again, there's a dispute there, and some other scholars are arguing against that sort of connection between this idea of totems being part of a form of a religion. But anyway, so there are two types, the individual and group, and considering we are going to be playing a cooperative game, I figured I'd go with the group idea. It has a pretty long history because it's, you know, links into indigenous groups. And so when you're talking about that indigenous people, that's dates pretty far back. And it's global, you know, on the African continent, North America, South America, India, and especially the region known as Melanesia, which is like around Australia, and islands such as Papua New Guinea and Fiji, Vanuatu. In these groups of indigenous people have animal or plant totems that act as a symbol for their group. And for example, in Papua New Guinea, there are various animals, and especially fish, that serve as their totems. Many believe that basically like souls are passed down through the totems, like a new child soul comes from the fish totem, I guess. And when someone dies, it goes back to the fish totems. Yeah, and that's about all that the internet told me about totemism. But from the little bit I know about the game description and this idea, it seems like it fits into the theme pretty well. The idea we might be going around to different regions and seeking some totems.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it is very island-based, so maybe, mm-hmm. you know, that kind of fits with your...
I've always wanted to go to Vanuatu.
Okay. This is about island specifically?
Yes.
Do you want to know how it's played?
Yes.
That's Kiwi's line. I guess I'm supposed to say that. The goal of the game is to explore the world and acquire totems while trying to find a way home. The game is set up with an atlas, which shows where the ship is and what locations can be explored. The ship board, which shows the available locations on the ship and its damage status. And the 9 crew cards, which are split between the players, along with their equipment and abilities. Command tokens are a resource that allows you to play ability cards from your hand, activate crew abilities, ability cards, or adventure cards. It's kind of like your resource to take actions. And then throughout the game, you're going to run into challenges, which will generally be a value to meet. For example, strength of 5. Crew are assigned to the challenge, and then a fate card is drawn, which is in previous games, like you roll a dice. So it kind of is similar to like rolling dice. And then your crew ability score of the type needed, so like strength in this case, plus the value of the fate card are added together. And if the total meets, the total determines a success or failure. And any crew who participate gain a fatigue point, which will prevent them from participating in future challenges. So you have to get your crew rested so they can keep doing challenges. The player turn consists of many, many steps. So first you perform a ship action, and you can't perform the same ship action twice in a row. So on the bridge, you can gain an ability card, command tokens, and return all the used command tokens to the supply, which frees up the abilities that were used to be used again. Because you'll place a command token on it, and then you can't use it until it's clear. The galley, which you gain 2 ability cards and the command tokens, and then you can discard 1 ability card to remove 1 fatigue from a crew member. The deck, which will get you command tokens, plus you draw up to 3 search tokens, apply any damage they cause, but you keep the rewards from only 1 of the tokens. The quarters, which is similar to the bridge, but weaker, you gain ability card and command tokens, but you only return 3 used command tokens to the supply. And the sick bay, which will get you 1 ability card, command tokens, and then you restore 1 health to any crew member. So after the ship phase, you draw an event card and read the effect. Events may present a choice, challenge, consequence, or other effect, such as engine trouble or starfish biting the ship. And so you kind of do that phase. And then you perform 2 actions, which can be travel, which you move the ship to a new region on the atlas or a new page. You must do a crafting challenge to succeed the move. Crew can help with the challenge, but it fatigues them, just like in the other challenges. Moving into a region with a hazard, you'll have to also complete a hazard challenge. You can explore, which you pick a location in your region and turn to the number in the storybook and resolve that event. You can go to the market if there's a market in the region, in which case you draw 7 cards from the market deck and you can purchase any number of them. Or you can go to a port if there's a port in your region, and it can restore health and fatigue, repair the ship, and spend XP to upgrade the crew. And then finally, you pass to the next player and start it all over again. The combat system is kind of like a complex challenge. A crewmate will need to make an attack that beats the enemy's defense. The enemy has a damage grid. It's like at least the one I saw. I didn't really look through all of them because you're not supposed to. Like a 9x9 grid. And then certain spots will have like hearts on it, and certain spots will have like attack symbols. And as you cover those up with damage, it like takes down their health or reduces their ability to counterattack. And then after you attack, the enemy counterattacks and the damage is done to the attacking crewmate. And then there's a lot more rules than that, but this is the summary.
Visual learner, so I'll need the board.
Yeah, definitely. There's a lot. I mean, there's like a whole another set of rules on like, I don't know. There's a bunch of stuff. Like very like little things here and there. But the core of it is that there will be challenges and doing some stories. So
sounds good.
Them's the rules.
All right, let's play.
We just started a game of Sleeping Gods. To recap, we sailed around a bit. We didn't get very far. We played for about 2 hours. Yes. We kind of sailed around one page of the Atlas. Not going to give away too many spoilers.
Okay.
It's a spoilery type game. But we did some things. We fought some stuff. We did a bunch of challenges. We may or may not have helped people. We did not do anything outright evil.
Free to guy.
Right now we're pretty injured. So what did you think of the theme?
I'd say the theme is pretty strong. It's my first storytelling game, and it's clearly a different type of game where the theme is very present. Mm-hmm. We're definitely a crew going around exploring and fighting things. And
yeah, no, it's really good. Like Above and Below and Near and Far are kind of similar in terms of like you go through the storybook and things, but this really captures like the exploration. Like we're going different places and we're finding things and we're moving on to the next place. Like those are just more of like a board and you play on that. Mm-hmm. Like this one, you're like going all around and you have kind of the freedom to go wherever you want. Like we pass some spots to go to other spots. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it feels like we're kind of exploring a mysterious land. We don't know what's anywhere and seeing what's out there. What did you think of the table presence? The artwork and the components and all that stuff.
We call the board. So we have the Atlas and then.
So you have the Atlas. We have like the character boards. We have the ship board. Mm-hmm. You have all the tokens. You have all the pieces. Mm-hmm.
Well, okay. So I like the ship board. I like the art in general. Mm-hmm. I think it's a very attractive game. It's a little bit busy and unclear at times. Obviously, I'm confused by the skull and the
yeah, there's
exploding symbols.
A lot of symbols and multiple guides to the symbols. Yeah, there's a lot going on.
So, but I don't know better way to do that necessarily.
Yeah, it's just going to be a lot of pieces. It's like a Gloomhaven. There's just going to be a lot of components involved. Mm-hmm. I mean, table presence wise, it's really pretty. Mm-hmm. It would jump out at you if you walked by.
I even like the little box with the quest cards.
Yeah. There's like a nice magnetic box.
Mm-hmm. Looks like a treasure chest.
All the storage stuff is in boxes. It's really pretty. I think it's the prettiest of his games too. And they're all pretty nice. So really good table presence.
And definitely add to the theme, like taking the boat around to the next island on the Atlas.
Yeah. You like driving the boat around. mechanics. It's pretty straightforward. If you played any of his other games, there's challenges. Each character has abilities. There's challenges to overcome that you need to essentially get those abilities. Some of the games you're rolling dice. In this one, there actually is an option to use dice, but in this one you're drawing multi-use cards, and that'll kind of give you your value to meet the challenge. And then your challenges come from a variety of sources, but mainly from the storybook. So you read a bit of story. There's some options. You take the challenge, you see the result, you go to the next page in this, like a choose your own adventure kind of book. And then there's like some push your luck elements on like, who do you use? How many do you try to use now before they fatigue? That kind of thing. What did you think overall of the mechanics?
I like the mechanics. I like all the options in the storybook. I wish things didn't cost as much. I don't know if that's a fair criticism of the game.
It might be a criticism of us. I think we're supposed to be getting more ability cards on them so they have more strength to their actions.
Okay.
Right now we're pretty weak.
Because so right now everything seems very costly. Like yeah. Even those the event cards, like mm-hmm. To explore an abandoned canoe, sure. Yeah. You know, and only get one grain and it cost me 5 of something. It just doesn't seem
Yeah, I think we're just really weak right now because it is a very long game. So we are going to get stronger as we go. Mm-hmm. So I think it's just sort of the nature of starting early. It's a little rough, but
but it's fun. I mean, the push your luck always adds a bit of it.
Yeah,
adds some interest there, and I like the options in the story in the storybook and moving around.
One thing I don't know if it was intentional in the other game or if it was like a potential rule is like instead of the way we're doing it now, where like you read the player doing the action is reading the book and you're seeing all the options and choosing. I think you can play it where the other player reads you the thing and doesn't tell you the cost. Mm-hmm. Like I think it was Near and Far. There's actually usually like you can do this or this and it doesn't really tell you. So like right now you're kind of choosing your action based on whether or not you think. Whereas I think it's more fun to like not know the cost and just take the action that you think you would take situation. And then once you decide, it's revealed what you have to do to accomplish it. And it kind of adds a little more like, you know, luck of, you know, this is the action I would take and I'm going to try it either way.
Yeah.
And if I fail, I fail. If I succeed, that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So. I could agree with that. But also right now, it doesn't seem like we have the ability to. So it's not like we're choosing only because of the cost. It's like we really can't do the other ones. Or that's come up a couple times.
Yeah, it's potential. I think I would still enjoy it. Because a lot of the failures are also not complete failure. It's like take some damage or do some things. So like if you fail it, it's not like the end of the world. But I would probably play it with a little more disaster involved just to make the choices. Okay. What did you think of the combat system?
Yeah.
It's different.
That was rough. I was a little bit confused still going back to some of the icons. I don't know. I think it went on a little too long. I don't know.
Yeah, I think we're bad again.
Okay.
I think that was part of it.
Okay. I feel like it should just be one round, like keep doing it over and over again.
We got pretty unlucky too. It could have been over a lot longer.
Okay.
But yeah, it was, and I wasn't sure like the difficulty going into it because there were options to it. We didn't have to do the combat. Mm-hmm. So we could have seen it and been like, oh no, that looks too tough for us.
Yeah.
So now that I have an idea of like what that indicator means, chosen one of the other options. So I think there were at least some options. I think we would know now going in. Cause I think if we had a lot more command tokens, we would have more options.
Yeah. We didn't.
Then I think we kind of went in unprepared.
Yeah.
And it showed. So it was a little rough.
But, I wasn't even paying attention when you were choosing to go into it.
I guess combat is a thing to take seriously and to be prepared for.
Yes.
But it's an interesting system with like the grid and placing the tokens down and stuff. So, what did you think of the rules or learning in the game? again, we talked about a lot of icons.
Yeah. I think getting there, like it's not super hard and it's also like it's still enjoyable if you're a little bit confused, which that's usually how I measure things because I'm always going to be a little bit confused whether or not like it's still, it's okay.
It is rough. We don't have QB running it. So we're sort of just trying as normal average people.
I think I'd have a really hard time if I was in your shoes. Like, I appreciate that, you know, not all the rules, but you know a lot more than me and you know enough to like, to hold my hand a little bit. So
And it helps having played some of the previous games that I had like at least a decent idea of some of the things he likes to do. But
And as a cooperative game, like it's fine for you to do that rather than me not knowing what I'm doing and trying to win.
Yeah. It is cool. It comes with like a little like intro scenario that plays you through. It's kind of boring having read the rules, but I think it's designed so if you don't know the rules, it says open the box and start here and you don't have to read the rules. Mm-hmm. So we did that. That's really cool that it does that. It teaches you the basics, but there were still a lot of things I had to go look up and try to figure out a lot of symbols and other stuff. I do wish there's the full rule book, the starter rule book, and then a rule book sheet, a quick guide sheet in very small font to kind of guide. I do wish I had like a card with like the player turn. Cause I think that was, we kept trying to skip the event cards and having to go back. I think that was like, there's a lot of like steps that you got to follow in each, like a turn and then even like a sub turn. Mm-hmm. So maybe that were on the character sheets or something.
Yeah.
Help, that would kind be of helpful. I mean, it's a lot of rules, but it, Doesn't seem too difficult. It's just a bit of admin work and then a little like things you got to look up the first time you do stuff because mm-hmm. there's so much. Player interaction. Did you think it was interactive?
Of course. I mean, it's well, it's cooperative. Yeah. And we had to work together, definition of that. But yeah, especially in the combat to plan our attacks together. And
which we could have done better.
But and even when it's your turn and you're making your decisions, like, you know, you're still just talking it through and saying, oh, do we want to go here? Or because yep. where I take the ship matters for your turn. And right. yeah, so it's really interactive.
Yeah, sure. And you do a lot of like big planning. Like, okay, we want to kind of go this way. But then there's also like,
what should we do as a little step right. before we and then that way?
There's also the story mode where like you try to just let the person decide and you're like, why did you do that? Mm-hmm. I don't think we had that too much, but it could be an it interesting. Could be.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's like things like that of like, oh, why did you choose this action?
But, yeah.
So I think it can be very, very interactive. It could not be, I guess if people are just doing their own thing, but a good group, like we always say with cooperatives, like, and it is good that they kind of split up the crew cards. So you kind of have to, everybody at least has a little bit of agency. You couldn't really force anybody to do stuff. I mean, you could if you just told them to, but ultimately mm-hmm. they're supposed to be the ones that decide their actions.
So. Yeah.
Would you play it again?
I think we're about to continue to play. So, yes.
That's good because we have many, many hours left of it. We haven't gotten off the first page.
Yeah, I would definitely play again. It's yeah, I'm enjoying it. And yeah, I want to see where we go, you know. I mean, the storyline is really interesting and keeps it going. You want to continue exploring.
Mm-hmm. Good. Because it's out there. Yeah, I would play it again. I like Above and Below and Near and Far for the same reason of just like reading the story and finding out what's happening. And this even has a bit more of a mystery to it. Those mm-hmm. didn't so much. I guess they could have in some scenarios. Yeah. This seems a bit more of a cohesive story, whereas those didn't always. So I like that kind of aspect to it.
Yeah, where you get like the little keywords to open up other possibilities.
And yeah, and I mean, there's so many options you mm-hmm. could go. We could have just sailed off the map right away and gone to a whole new area and not mm-hmm. done any of the million quests we apparently have now. Mm-hmm. There's just like a lot of options. It's very open world and choose your own adventure type, which is super fun. And it's pretty unlike any other game I have. That's why I got this one. I mean, closest thing is this would be similar to like a Gloomhaven where you kind of have an open adventure and you can go through. That's a bit more combat oriented than this one. This is more like skills and things. Mm-hmm. I think it's pretty different.
If you have any recommendations of games you would like to hear our impressions on, please send them our way. You can do it via email at firstturntabletop@gmail.com or hit us up on Twitter or Instagram at firstturncast. The podcasting camel says,
if you do a voice.
What's the
1920s voice?
1920s voice? What is that?
New York voice. Do New York accent.
Do my New York accent. Please don't forget to rate, review. I don't have a New York accent for these words.
Say water a bunch.
It's water or quarter. Please don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe on your favorite podcatchers. We look forward to hearing from you. Play more games. I feel like a fraud here saying our as a guest. 'Do we automatically go there next rather if we can't go up there?
So it's the zones. It's everything in the
so soon as
it's not a very localized storm in the middle of the water. Can't just drive your motor around it.
Captain Sophie's very good.
I don't like these people.
Mm-hmm.
One green. Should have sat on the boat.
Yeah.